Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence on FNX. I'm your host, Stowe, and joining me this evening is Mike Pieri.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Double D from the D&D Footy Factory.
Hello. Scandal.
All good, mate. And Rodri Giggs.
Yes, hello. Hello.
Oh, we're back. The band is back. we all had a good summer?
Come see, come saw.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
not
enough.
Bad, not bad.
Well, the World, come on, it was a decent World Cup, wasn't it?
Fantastic World Cup.
There you go.
World Cup was good. Yeah, World Cup was good.
Yeah, that was an age ago.
It was, but it was just something to remember, I guess.
That's when football was good, football was exciting. And now back to the drudgery of watching United.
slow torture.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Before we start this roundup show, because there's something that I haven't done on this show, we haven't done for a long time, and that's a quiz. It's a quiz. And now you might want to get your pens and or your Google's ready. I've picked three results from the second week of games from a certain season, and that's 93-94. And all you guys need to do is pick the goal scorers from these games. Is that? Wow. Yeah?
I need some paper.
From where? 93-94?
Yeah, season 93-94, yeah.
Thanks, though. I was 9 years old. Goodness me.
Come on, I'm sure you can remember the last time Liverpool won the league, though.
Just about, only because it was the last time I saw my grandma. I was six last time.
We're not allowed to use Google, are we?
You're not allowed to use Google. I was only joking. For some reason, I said Google Maps at the beginning. I'm just so infatuated with Google Maps at the moment. I don't know where I'm going these days. Avoid certain parts of London where the shootings are. Google Map. Christ. Right, where is this show going? Bloody hell. Right, okay, so the first game is Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1.
Ian Rush.
Shall I let you guys think about it and then you can give me your answers after I've done the games?
Brian Deane scored for Sheffield United.
Who?
David Hurst. Sheffield United.
Right, it was Brian Dean score for Sheffield United.
Okay.
Alan Cork.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Write your answers down and then tell me what, after I've given you the games, because this might go on for a while. Okay.
Liverpool
2, Sheffield United 1, yeah. Okay, next game. Same result. Norwich 2, Chelsea 1. Got your thinking caps on. Okay. Next game. And final game, QPR 3, Southampton 1. Rod is just sitting back going, what the hell is going on? Didn't prepare him for that one. Okay, I'll tell you what. Mike, do you want to guess first?
Ooh. Liverpool, I'm going to go with Fowler.
Okay. Were you asking me or you're telling me?
Oh, no, I was expecting you to say yes. I'm still trying to think.
I'll tell you what. Let's go back to that after we do our Premier League roundup then.
Go on then.
Let's do that. Yeah? let's do it, because this could take a while. It actually will take a while. Right, okay, let's go with the first game of the weekend then. The first big game of the weekend. It was Chelsea 2, Arsenal 3. That's actually two wins on the bounce for Chelsea, thanks to goals from Pedro, Morata and Alonso. Oh, sorry, no, it's Chelsea 3, Arsenal 2, wasn't it? What have we written down, Chelsea? Yeah, it's Chelsea.
Why are you giving Arsenal points, though?
I'm sorry, mate. It's going to be one of these shows. I messed up the beginning of last week's show. I'm going to mess up the beginning of this week's show. Okay, so Chelsea 3, Arsenal 2. So, the Spanish trident, Pedro Morata and Alonso, got the goals. Arsenal obviously still searching for their first win of the season. Mike, maybe you can answer this one. I know it's a big win for Chelsea, but how concerned do you think Sarri is, given the way they kind of let that lead slip?
They've had a good start to the season in terms of results. They've got points on the board and they've actually scored goals, because for me, going into the season, for me, the danger or the worry for Chelsea boy, who's going to score their goals? Mm-hmm. Morata, for me, is not good enough. Hazard's come back off the World Cup, but they've got goals from different areas of the pitch. Going forward, I think, can you trust Luis at the back? Luis? I'm not sure.
PlayStation footballer, isn't he?
Well, yeah, according to one well-known pundit. I mean, I like him as a footballer, but, you know, and Kante is finding himself in so many advanced positions, and I think it's detracting from what he's actually excellent at. He's just sitting there, holding. Him and Jorginho, they could actually have a 4-2-3-1 formation, which is really solid. But Sarri doesn't play that way, and he's given, you know, Kante license to end up in the inside right position, inside left position, centre forward position, scoring volleys. I think that he may need to reassess that
But Hazard hasn't been playing, so when Hazard is fully fit, do you think that's going to change a little bit?
It's going to have to, isn't it? They're going to have to accommodate their best player.
Mm.
But again, in a 4-2-3-1, Hazard can play in a number 10, you know, free role. Got Willian on one side, maybe Pedro on the other. And if you are going to persist with Morata, you know, Chelsea have got a good spine to their team. Mm. They've got a good team.
I presume Ross Barkley would make way if Hazard, or when Hazard is fully fit. Double D, what do you make of Ross Barkley anyway? Because, you know, he obviously joined Chelsea. Remember, he didn't have the medical and then he didn't go. And then afterwards he changed his mind and joined in. Was it the summer he joined them? I can't even remember whether it was the summer or was it...
It was a January winter.
So, you know, he hasn't really...
He went away from the medical, didn't he?
That's right. He hasn't pulled that many trees. But to be fair, you know, he hasn't been given that many opportunities. But Sarri's stuck by him. I think he's done pretty well since coming to the team, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's done okay. They were really critical of his performance on BT Sport, but I thought Barkley did okay. I think he's still finding his feet because of the injuries, and I think he's playing within himself at the moment. Barkley at Everton used to supply a lot of goals for Lukaku, and I think that once he kind of gets the fans behind him and kind of gets the shackles off, I think he'll be okay for them. As you said, when Hazard looks hungry at them, to be honest, they might... Sam should just bring Hazard off of the bench for the rest of the season because he looks hungry. He's just going past people, sipping balls through. But obviously, yeah, when he does come into the team, it will be Barkley that makes way for him. But Ross has done okay. I'm happy Sammy's giving him the opportunity, to be honest, because I thought he'd immediately look elsewhere.
Mm. Rod, what do you think the Morata's goal will do for his confidence, mate? Can you see him forming a partnership with Hazard? Rod?
Yeah, it's obviously going to boost his confidence, but I agree with Mike. I just don't think he's good enough for this league. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it last year, and I haven't seen it. Oh, he took his goal well, even though it was poor defending, to be honest. But yeah, I just agree with Mike. I don't think he's cut out for this league. I just don't think he's a 20-25 a man, a season goal. I just don't think you can do that, and that's what Chelsea need. When they lose a player like Diego Costa with quality, and they've not done that, and you know, probably a bullet dodged by us because we was linked with him.
That's right. I mean, I feel sorry for Mina Rizuki though, because you know she put out a soundbite which a lot of people are referring to relating to Lukaku and Morata, and she said, you know, she'd rather have Morata because he's a more intelligent player and whatnot, but I think, to be fair, I kind of see where she's coming from, but at the same time, Morata's come from two leagues that aren't as physical, aren't as demanding, in my honest opinion. And let's be honest, he came off the bench for a lot of these games for Real Madrid and Juventus. You know, coming to the Premier League, expected to play week in, week out for a team like Chelsea, where the demands are much, much higher if you talk about a player that comes in, especially replacing Diego Costa. It's going to be tough for the guy. I mean, look, I don't hope... for Chelsea's sake that he does well. I hope for his sake, because let's be honest, without Diego Costa, Spain are toothless up front. They don't have any other real striker apart from what, Iago Aspas.
Yeah.
You can't really rely on him, you know, let's be real. But Double D, tell me about Arsenal, because it seems like a work in progress. I mean, they can draw more positives than negatives from the result, can't they?
Yeah, let's be honest, though they lost 3-2 in the first half, they had enough chances to put Chelsea away. Mkhitaryan missed a sitter, Aubameyang missed a couple of sitters, and attacking, they look okay. It's at the back. He's trying to get them to press. I think they'll look much better when Torreira is consistently starting, because I do not trust Granit Xhaka. And I think they'll be okay. For me, their season starts now. They play West Ham on the weekend. They have to beat them. If they don't get a result against West Ham, that's when you can start asking questions. Because I didn't really expect them to beat Man City or Chelsea, but I thought maybe they could squeeze a draw or two out of those games. But I think they'll be all right. The fans just have to be patient. Emery's a winner, and I think it will come. I think in the second season, I think they're going to be really good. This season is about beating up the teams that you shouldn't, accumulate enough points to be challenging for the top four. But I think there's enough. But yet the challenge have to be, I don't know what Mustafi was doing on the second goal. Check as well. Throw Leno in there, because people are saying, oh, it would have been a harsh baptism of fire for him to go in goal. But if you look, for instance, at Huddersfield, they got Ben Hamer from Leicester, who was a number two to Schmeichel. Their opening two games have been Chelsea and Man City, and he's played both of them. So why couldn't Leno, a guy who's got caps for Germany and has been Leverkusen's number one keeper for how long, have gone in goal? Because Cech's made a couple of decent saves, but he's just not with, it's not the same Peter Cech, man. And I just think individual errors are what are going to cost Arsenal in these tight games. So starting with West Ham, they need to get the points off of the teams they should be beating, and then review the situation in January whether they need to go again or not.
I agree with you, mate. Totally agree with you. Mike, tell me about Emery, because he wasn't afraid to hook Mesut Ozil for not putting in a shift. No surprise there. I think a lot of players at the club are in for a right reality check, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way Emery was trying to play, and you know, and Dee mentioned how they had they missed a few sitters. Mm. They got around the back and pulled it back to a runner from midfield. That's not Ozil. Ozil wants to be a playmaker. He wants to ping those balls. He wants to make those pinpoint passes through. So if he's looking, so if Emery's looking for runners through midfield, Ramsey's a perfect example. He's someone who could do it. I think he might be had a really good game. And, you know, those balls that are going round the side, Monreal from one side and, you know, and from the other side as well, they're kind of Bellerin, they'll come in, you know, they'll cut in through, almost like a throwback to wingers, you know, getting right to the byline, knocking it back and playing, you know, trying to score those goals. They should have had four goals. So if that's Emery's template, it's no surprise that Ozil doesn't fit that. That's not Ozil's game. However, Emery also wants his players to track back, to defend, to help the defence. Again, that's not Ozil's game. And if he's told Ozil, this is what I require from you, and he's not doing it, then fair play to Emery. Do you know what? Get off the pitch. Get off the pitch and we'll put someone else who will do it. Even if it does mean, you know, a young player like Guendouzi, who has made a lot of mistakes, but a lot of passion, a lot of energy, and he's trying to get back. Torreira will be a good player. But I do think that the midfield does need to protect that back four. There's a lot of and back five, if you include checking that, I think they can be got at. But Emery's trying to put his stamp. We've already seen that. And if they're going to play like that, I think a lot of teams are going to be in for a shock against them.
Rod, I know you're not Ozil's biggest fan. I think with Emery coming in and obviously hooking him and giving him, as I said, that reality check, can you see him lasting at Emirates?
No. No, not at all. You know, by all accounts, he's on a massive wage as well, and we've seen it over the years. He's not a player that's going to work for you. He's a luxury player. Arsene Wenger's his perfect manager. To be honest, he's let him get away with murders, and obviously Emery's seen that. He's given him a chance. He's picked him. He's obviously seen the quality he's got training, but you know, when they're playing that high press and you just have one person that doesn't do it, and then they find a way around you, and it's difficult for the whole team. And obviously he's seen that, and that's why he's hooked him. So I don't see him changing. And like I say, he's on a big wage, so I don't see him lasting.
Fair enough. I want to pose a question to you, Double D, because I know you like your European football. There's a fellow called Hala Madrid that's in the chat, and he says, last week I said Kovacic was the best midfielder to join the Premier League this season. What do you reckon?
Kovacic, I'm a huge fan of Kovacic, but I'm also, I think Naby Keita, once he gets to the grips of things, will show some class, but I'm a huge fan of Jorginho, and I've screamed on our show for the last couple of years that he's probably the closest thing the Prem will have to Xabi Alonso. since he's gone in terms of his range of passing. His penalty the other day, I'm still laughing about his penalty against Huddersfield as well. But yeah, Jorginho is a baller. And on that first goal, they scored a Pedro's one, the way he swung the play. I think if Torreira was on the pitch, they would have been better at closing him down. But yes, I'm going to go with Jorginho, but him, Keita, Torreira's a good player as well. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of Kovacic. But I think Kovacic is a victim of his own brilliance, to coin a phrase, because he can play as an attacking midfielder, he can play as a central midfielder, or he can play as a defensive midfielder. And I think Madrid used him in different roles. I just think it got to a case they didn't know where to play him, which is why he wasn't a regular there, because he's a very, very good player, and he was good before it when he was at Inter Milan as well. But yeah, I'm going to go with Jorginho in terms of the best foreign import in centre mid.
Excellent. There you go. Case closed. Right, on to the game at the Amex, where Brighton beat Man United 3-2. They earned the points against a rather clueless United side who could actually muster a shambolic 2 shots on target in the second half. Rod, I'm going to give Brighton props here because they worked harder, they were more disciplined, and they deserve all the credit for limiting United to so few attempts.
Yeah, well, I spoke about it before on the show lots of times that how much I think of Christian Hughes. He's an excellent coach, an excellent manager, and he's done a good job, but still, to be outplayed, to be outworked by no disrespect to a team like Brighton, it's just not good enough. It's just so many issues at the minute. It's just one after the other. It's just embarrassing at the minute, to be honest.
Yeah, embarrassing. I think that's put it mildly. Mike, I think this actually has to be the worst United performance since the LVG days, no?
Sevilla runs it close.
Yeah? As bad as this?
Well, there was more expectation, I guess, there. When you got your captain coming at the end of the game, after the game, saying that, you know, I'll put myself forward first, didn't have the right attitude. And this coming off a World Cup where he was seen before games, after games, during games, cajoling his teammates, giving team talks, driving his team forward, and yet his bread and butter, his back at his club, and he can't do that. That for me was the biggest disappointment. But there were disappointments throughout the pitch. Martial, if anyone needs any more evidence why he is not a Man United player, or should I say a Mourinho player, that was evidence. Matter on the right just doesn't work. However technically gifted the guy is, it just doesn't work. He cannot play on the right. And, well, shall we start on Lindelof and Kane as well?
Go for it. I mean, floor is yours, mate.
Again, there's evidence there that suggests, well, you know what? They needed an experienced man next to him. Listen, I always work in context. I look at context. Try and be a half glass full kind of analyst. However, that was just atrocious. But I think neither of them have played more than 40 or 50 games before they got signed to United. So come into a huge club, massive league, very different to what they're used to. They're both young. That's why Mourinho identified the need for an experienced defender. He tried it last year with Jones and Smalling to a certain extent. Didn't work. These youngsters needed a Toby Alderweireld. They needed a Jerome Boateng. They needed someone like that to bring them up, to show them the tricks, the arts of the game. Because they're young. I generally feel there's a defender in Lindelof. I generally believe that Bailly has got something about him. But don't put those two kids together against a team that's going to work hard, close you down, you know, at your ankles whenever you've got the ball. It's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
The thing is, I don't know if you listen to Beyond the Pitch that Phil Brown hosts. It's a fantastic pod.
Yep.
And, you know, he does the United one. And he said the other day, United were offered Alderweireld for £35 million close to the end of the window. And Ed Woodward said, no, we'll wait till the end of his contract, you know, or sorry, the way where, you know, where they get the extra year's extension.
Yeah.
And then they can get him for £28 million when he becomes 30. So I don't understand the logic. I really don't understand the logic for the sake of £7 million. It's Perisic all over again.
I'm aware from the information I have that it was he wanted to come. Alderweireld wanted to come. It was all done and dusted. All it needed was a signature.
Mm. There you go. Enough said. The problems at United, we can go on all night about them. You know, Rod, we're going to do the United show very soon, Monday this week, and I'm sure we're going to get it all out in the open then. So if you want to watch us rant, you can just follow us on.
Is that going to go on to Tuesday?
Probably ranting right the way. Yeah, throughout the game as well, throughout the Monday game. Yeah, so if you want to follow us on the Viva Red Army, we've got a YouTube show there. So give us a follow on there and you can watch us go off on one about United. I'm not going to ask Double D about his opinions because he's a Liverpool fan and he's probably just laughing his ass off at the moment. So, what are your opinions anyway? Is he still there?
He's going to unmute.
He's muted himself.
He didn't want to hear us.
He muted himself. That's all right. The problem
you've got is this poor Pogba issue. You can't have an agent doing what he did today without that player having knowledge of him doing it. It's just if he didn't have knowledge of him doing it, he's a punk and he needs to sack him. But if he didn't, there's a serious issue there because he's just talking nonsense. It's just like absolute nonsense.
Arguably
one of the great players to ever grace the Premier League, and he's got. And then this is a separate issue with the old 92 lot. They've all got a platform. They've all got their own say. They're all shy coaching. They've all tried it, and so there's only one person that's going to get the job, and then they'll all obviously have a chance to do something about it. Until then, they're all going to have their opinion, and it's a big opinion, and people listen to it.
But the funny thing is, right, even if United do get a Zidane, or a Pochettino, or a whoever, nothing's really going to change, because...
Still need a centre-back!
Not just that, you need new owners. You need owners that that have ambition. You need a CEO that actually doesn't get involved in team matters. What was he doing going in the dressing room after the game? What's he got to do with him? Why is he going into the dressing room? Why? Why is Ed Woodward?
What it needs when obviously Van Gaal went and then Moyles went, Van Gaal went, we have to start right back from where we were. Alex Ferguson started from the youth, not buying players that are 30, 31, getting young talent, and maybe sacrificing not being at the top, but gradually getting better with these young players, not bringing in mercenaries like Sanchez, Matic, going to be here 2 or 3 years and never remembered. So it's just a big, massive overhaul, and Mourinho's not the person to do it. So the quicker he goes, is the better. But the board appointed him, so they're going to have to back him or get rid of him.
Well, there was a report today that they are backing him, but I don't know whether that's the dreaded vote of confidence. Well,
they're giving 400 million quid. He's got 7 centre-backs, so what does he need all them for? He needs to get some out. Is that his job to do that now, or is it someone else's to get rid of these players? Because he basically said he's the head coach now, so is it the board's place to get rid of these players, then bring them in? I don't know. This is why it's all up in the air, and you just don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a big mess at the moment. It's a sinking ship, whether we like it or not. That's case in point, you know.
You're going to constantly see it in the news because it's a fact that Manchester United in the papers sells more papers, so. Any little thing, they're just going to lie about it or just exaggerate about it and just continue on until the people at the top sort it out and just get back to football and get back to winning ways.
Mm. Do you guys think that there's a small chance that Pogba has actually put Mina Raiola up to it? Because I was thinking about it earlier, about what Pogba said in his Instagram the other day, whereby, was it, I can't say what I'm thinking because I get fined. So he's effectively using his agent as a mouthpiece, you know?
Yeah, like ladies, who works for who here? Does he work for his agent or does the agent work for him?
Well,
the agent works for him, so whatever the agent's doing, Paul Pogba knows about it. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but do you think Paul Pogba knew that he was actually being filmed inhaling nitrous oxide from a balloon while he was on his break? Has anyone seen that video?
Yeah. The pink balloon.
The pink balloon and the purple balloon and, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Wonderful.
Well, anyway, well, so just want to make his voice squeaky.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I guess he's heard Jack Wilshere talk. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about the two big spenders out of the three promoted sides. It wasn't a great weekend for them. Fulham held Spurs until the last 15 minutes before losing 3-1, while Wolves didn't take advantage of their early opportunities at Leicester, eventually losing 2-0. Double D, it's not the best start to the season for both teams. To be fair, mate, I actually feel a little bit for Fulham. I fear for their future. I'm not convinced their back four is good enough, especially to keep clean sheets. Bit of a wake-up call for both Fulham and Wolves, though, isn't it?
Defo, I think they both got a bit, especially Fulham, I think they got a bit overzealous in the market. They got a bit excited. They've brought, 12 people in? Two goalies. Rico's a better goalkeeper than Fabry, but Sergio Rico's sitting on the bench at the moment. I don't think Jokanović. To be honest, I think some of these players have been brought in by Khan, you know. I think Tony Khan's brought in some of these people, and it's just like, yeah, deal with it. We've given you enough here, different bodies. Make it work, because I just don't know. I fancy them to be comfortable, but watching their opening two games, I know there's still 36 left, but I am getting a little worried. They should have beaten Palace, but were wasteful, and then Palace got the 2-0 win in the end. And then on the weekend, they were in it with Tottenham, fell apart. The Trippier free kick, I think, killed them. I think otherwise they might have been able to go on to get a point. But, I'm getting a little worried for them. I know it's early doors, but I don't think he knows his best 11. I think by the time he knows it, they might be stuck in the quagmire, as Big Sam that comes to our show says it.
With Fulham, and I tweeted this while watching the game, they look really nice. They look really good on the ball.
Yeah.
However, it's almost as though they're trying to play a style of football, trying to play a brand of football, but haven't got the players. If you haven't got the players, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, Jokanović is going to have to look at it and say, do you know what? If we're going to stay in this league, we might have to change what we're doing. I get this is the way I want to play football, want to make it exciting, want to play on the floor and so on. However, if you're not getting results and if you're being penned back and it's just not working because your players aren't good enough for that type of football, something's got to give, doesn't it, surely?
What's wrong with Mawson? Is he injured?
Yeah, Mawson's injured, yeah.
He's injured. Yeah. So, look, he's a massive upgrade on Callum Chambers. And with the greatest respect to Callum Chambers, you know, he's like Carl Jenkinson. Like, how have you got a contract at Arsenal? How? Like, no disrespect, but how? You know, the guy wasn't he on loan at Middlesbrough at one point? Hasn't he been like four or five different clubs since he's been at Arsenal? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But this is the second club that I remember that he's gone out on loan to, and I cannot see what any manager sees in him. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Maybe he's just one of these players that you just have to sign on loan for the sake of signing him on loan. I don't know.
A perpetual loan player.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you mentioned before, they've signed 12 players. I'm thinking, what, is Khan really serious about buying Wembley that he can't fill the seats? So he needs to buy players so he can fill the seats. I don't get it.
Some people just got more money than
sense.
Well, yeah.
There you go. Rod, what do you make of Wolves? Because they spent big, but they seem to be more of a cohesive unit. They were quite unfortunate against Leicester, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they were. But you know, this is not the Championship, Premier League. If you get these chances, you have to take away, because they are making good chances, but they're just not written the bar or in the post or, you know. But they were quite unlucky on Saturday, and if they keep going and playing like that and you know, the work effort, and they'll get some results. Same with Fulham, but you know, this isn't the Championship, this is the Premier League, and everyone is saying, oh, I think that the sides that have come up will be okay. You know, I was not too sure about that, and obviously if we've seen it down in the past as well, if they don't have a good start, they find it difficult. Them teams who come up have a good start usually stay up, and the ones that don't usually go down, so they need to sort it quick and start getting punched on the board.
Yeah, that goes for Cardiff as well. I think they're doomed already, mate. It sounds really sullen for me to say, but I really can't see Cardiff getting anything out of this season. Really can't. I can see Vincent Tan booing him off the pitch at least once.
Yeah, it's always going to be difficult. You know, they've not spent much money, but you know, they're not scoring goals, and if you're not scoring goals in the Premier League, and ultimately leaking at the other end, then you know, you're not going to win too many games. But their home form is going to be key. So they need to win a few games at home, and then they might have a little chance. But you know, it's going to be a tough season for them.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That's right. Okay, so last night's game, Mighty, Monday night, saw Liverpool dispose of 10-man Crystal Palace 2-0. The main talking point was Bissaka's dismissal for bringing down Salah when the Egyptian was through on goal, although many are quite unconvinced about the actual contact that was made. What's your take on the incident, Mike?
Listen, when you travel at that pace, all it takes is even just a slight touch. I think there was a touch. I think it would have been interesting if VAR was there. I don't know if they would have sent him off, because Salah's touch takes the ball to the right.
Yeah.
And he sort of denies a goal scoring opportunity to himself. However, I think Michael Oliver was well within his rights at first sight. What he saw, I think he was right, it was a foul. Therefore, if he's going to give the foul, it's almost automatic that he's going to send him off. But had VAR been there, he would have given the foul, but not necessarily make it a red card.
Okay. You know, when you started explaining, you said when you're going at that pace, all it takes is a little charge. For some reason, I just got that sketch from Eddie Murphy. You know, when all you have to do is just brush balls.
Keep your hands to yourself.
There you go, yeah. Double D, Liverpool, they look much more assured with Alisson in goal. They look much more assured with Alisson in goal. I mean, he's obviously made a big difference already, especially when you've got a confident goalkeeper that is making saves, that's able to pass the ball and isn't going to throw the ball straight at the striker.
Yeah, it filters through to the other players, doesn't it? Because then it makes them more confident in their game. It was just that the goalkeepers we've had still since Reina have been just... I have palpitations every time a free kick comes into the box, a corner comes in, a shot comes in. So it's just nice yesterday to be able to watch a confident goalkeeper actually produce a competent display. And when he does save the ball, push it away from the goal, not back into play. So that was vital, because Palace were unlucky yesterday. They played quite well. And I don't think they're going to be anywhere near relegation, because I think that they can counter-attack well. They could defend quite well. I thought Tompkins was very good yesterday. Wan-Bissaka, before he got sent off, was very good. And he's better than I thought he was going forward as well. So I think he's going to be a star in the future. Yes, it was Alisson's distribution as well was important as well, because we knocked the ball back to him a few times and he was just composed with the ball at his feet and was able to knock it through, producing some decent passes. But yeah, it was nice. I thought it was a professional display from Liverpool rather than anything really great. I think they overpassed it at times. We're trying to score the perfect goal. Should have had a few more shots and better opposition might have been able to squeeze something out of it. But if you're going to be there at the end of the season, if you're going to challenge City for as deep into the season as possible, those are the games that you need to take 3 points from.
Yeah, it's like you said at the top of the show, you know, Palace are a very difficult team to play against. You guys have really struggled over the years. So, you know, 3 points there, it was a professional performance.
Yeah, professional, yeah. Professional more than anything, definitely. Van Dijk, I thought, was really good. Was solid. Ronaldo sat quite well. Milner must be on some sort of performance enhancing drugs, because at 32 he's still covering every blade of grass.
Was he one of the Guardiola?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, you were saying. we're just speculating. We're not saying that, you know, Kevin De Bruyne is going to be back in 2 weeks, even though it should be 2 months. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, as you were.
Who's tranquilizer? I don't think he's going to be out for 3 months. Funny that you said that. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that long. I think they're trying to throw out, at the same time that this documentary came out, I think they're trying to spread some more panic, and it won't be that bad. But it was good to watch. I don't know when was the last time Liverpool started the season off with two clean sheets either. But defensively they've improved the organisation and whatnot, and it'll be interesting. I want to see what they do in the Champions League though. when there's players of better quality that you might only give one chance to and they're able to put it away. You might be able to get away with some of the things they got away with yesterday in the Premier League, but against better players, you may be punished. But I'm optimistic. I still think we need to go back in January for Fekir. I think we still think we need someone to break teams that play the low block, because as you saw yesterday, otherwise we'll just no creativity, just pass it, look for a mistake, if it doesn't happen, go backwards, pass it. Need to keep that tempo up to break these teams down. So the Brighton game is going to be interesting on the weekend to see, because Brighton are going to set up, they're going to play deep, so to see what we do against them.
Will Lovren come back in? Because it's quite a young back four. You've got Gomez.
Yeah,
Trent Alexander-Arnold. You got Robertson. Van Dijk's obviously the experienced international. Yeah. There. Oh, look at that! They've got an experienced international with a young centre back helping them along. Oh yeah, sorry.
Ooh, funny
but, yeah, funny that. It does work. I thought Gomez played very well, and I think he's impressed every time he has played. But will Klopp keep him there, or will he bring back Lovren, who is not, I think, as good?
No, isn't Lovren one of the best defenders in the world?
Oh, please.
Speak to my brother. did you see that video when you first came back to training and Salah and Van Dijk were mocking him?
See, they know.
I think, because Lovren's in a bit of trouble with them, isn't he? Because he didn't tell them, apparently he spoke with Klopp frequently during the World Cup and didn't inform him that he had this abdomen stretch injury. So I think Gomez will be... For now, yeah, he'll play. It'll be interesting when Matip gets fit, what happens. But though we have improved at the back, God, please don't let Van Dijk get injured, otherwise you're going to see things. With no organisation at the back, you're going to see wild things at the back. And Alisson will have much more to do. But for now, I think, yeah, Gomez on his space. But yeah, he was very good. It's at the end of the game, Klopp and Van Dijk went over to him and gave him a proper pat on the back because he did well. Because he's naturally is a centre-half, but when he first come to us, we were playing him at left-back and still remember... he was really good, and then United beat us 3-1 in Martial's infamous debut, and then after that his confidence went down, then he got injured, came back, got injured again. So hopefully now in his natural position with game time he'll eradicate those mistakes, and I think he could be really good, because last year when he played for England he played in a free, didn't he? And he had Neymar in his pocket at centre half. So yeah, hoping he'll grow and keep Lovren out, because regardless of the last 6 months I still don't trust they are Lovren.
Well, it's funny you mentioned players that are developing. Rod, talk to me about Wilf Zaha, because a lot of people on social media feel, you know, he's really highly rated. They feel that, you know, he can make it at a big club. Personally, I don't think he's got the right attitude. And by that, I mean, he seems very settled at a team like Crystal Palace. He's happy to have these 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 performances. But it strikes me that he's a bit scared to make that next step. I don't know whether that United experience and the whole Van Gaal test kind of knocked his confidence. I don't know whether it's the whole, you know, giving up on the England national team to play for Ivory Coast, when clearly that wasn't his first choice. It just seems to me that he's happy to settle for second best. What do you think?
We did think he was going to go in the summer, but it obviously didn't work out. It was obviously a no-brainer for Crystal Palace to put him on a better deal, to make him a little bit happier. And then obviously, you know, if the team comes in for him, if he does well this season again, or some team comes in January, then that price will be bumped up. So, yeah, I think I agree with you a little bit. I think if he wasn't in London, would he be the same player? I think he's a home guy. If he went to one of the London clubs, it probably would suit him better. But if he went to a team, obviously he's not going to come to United again, but I can't really see him go to City. So he's probably going to be one of the London clubs, either Chelsea, Tottenham or Arsenal. But I can't really see him going to Arsenal. But yeah, he's obviously a talent. But yeah, I kind of agree with you a little bit. But you know, he has to take that step to see if he can take that step, because you know, he's a fantastic talent, and for him to go to that next level, he has to move on.
Mm. What do you make of him? Because I know that, you know, there's a certain Spurs player that you know very well who's out on loan. Is he back on loan? Or he was out on loan?
No, he's back at Spurs.
He's back at Spurs. Yeah, yeah. would Zaha be going to the right place if he went to Spurs? Because we've seen the likes of Lucas Moura has been brought in, Lamella's been given his opportunities now. You know, Moura scored at the weekend. If Zaha did go to Spurs, would he be at the right place? Is Pochettino the man to develop him into the player that people think he should turn out to be?
Do you know what this situation reminds me of? It just reminds me of Matthew Letizia.
That's it. Great shout.
He just wants to be where he is adored, where he's loved, he's respected. That's his first club. It's his area. You know, as Rod said, he's a London boy. He's a homeboy. And you know what? So what? You know, he's not going to be poor. You know, he's going to be on a good whack. He's going to enjoy his career, be with fans. As long as, you know, if Palace ever did struggle and were relegated, you know, threatened with relegation, that's when he may think, you know what, I need to go up a level. But, you know, I think he's happy. And if he's happy, why does he have to go anywhere?
I don't know. Just seems like he's got, for me, look, don't get me wrong, he's a good player, but I just think he's taken the easy route by sticking at Crystal Palace. I know they gave him a chance, a second chance, and obviously he wants to repay the fans and they love him, which is fine. But the way I see it is that, you know, as I said before, with the national team, he didn't want to fight for his place for the England national team. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I really don't think his heart was settled for Ivory Coast. I think England was his first choice. He obviously didn't get to the national team to get a chance there. And I think staying at a club like Crystal Palace, he's got it easy. I understand, you know, it's his local club and whatnot. Mm. But if you want to go to that next level and be classed as one of the best, you need to give it a try at one of the big clubs. And we've seen players in the past go to like United and Liverpool's and not make it and end up back at square one and then moving on elsewhere. I don't know. I think the jury's out for me for Zaha. I don't know what you think. Double D, what do you reckon on Zaha?
It's just true what you say, because I actually have one of my boys actually live near him, and he's always out and about, as you said, and you're quite correct in that he's a homeboy. He's one of the people that you could just go out to the high road now and go to KFC or something like that, and he's there by himself, no entourage or anything like that. He's comfortable, and I think he's one of those people. If he went to a bigger club, as you said, with a manager that will put their arm around him, gas him up a bit, tell him he's better than he is, I think he'll do major damage out wide, because he's like a proper winger. There's so many people in football now that they a forward player gets put out wide, or they try to double up and put a fullback there. He's actually a natural fullback winner, like a Rue Fox or a Tony Daly or someone like that. And I just think, just work on that end product. I think he has enough to score like at least 12 goals every season, get those assists in, because teams are scared of him. He gets the ball sometimes, little step over turn, and rather than try to attack him, they're ball watching. They're actually scared. So he needs to move, as you said, though, if he's comfortable. Letizia is a great example, because people always have pops at Letizia on Twitter about, why didn't you go to this team or that team? And he said that he had numerous offers. I think he said that a Stade Ferguson tried to get him. I know he said Chelsea tried on numerous occasions, bigger teams, and he refused. And I think some teams from abroad and that, he said, also tried to get him as well. So if Real Fox goes to that next level, he needs to leave, and he could get proper, he could go places, but because I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet.
He's made for Arsenal.
He's comfortable.
He is made for Arsenal under Emery.
Definitely.
The way Emery wants to play, he is made for Arsenal. That's what I can see. Definitely. What I was going to say is that, you know, when we watch players, we can see whether they're physically fit or not. We can see whether technically they're good enough. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we can't see is what goes on between their eyes.
Yeah, true.
You know, we don't know what goes on, you know, in their head. And if, as I said, if he's happy and he's content, how many Cristiano Ronaldos are there who are going to drag themselves and do everything it takes to get to the top? That's a one in a billion or one in 7 billion.
Mm.
You know, whereas Zaha is content. He's got the talent. He's got a great contract. As I said, is it a team that adores him, fans that love him? For him, that might be the adrenaline rush for him. That might be it, and he's happy, and that might be it.
That's okay. There's lots of players that down the years have done that. All United, because Manchester United weren't successful, but they were. You know, they would have still stayed at Man United for all the careers because they loved the club and they were content to play for the club they loved and grown up to support. So. That's okay, but you know, if we would like to see him progress, and was know the talent he's got, in, probably in a Tottenham team or possibly in an Arsenal or Chelsea team, it'd be a top player. But you know, if he's content with staying in Palace, that's okay. He's still a Premier League football player, and a good one at that.
Mm.
Good shout. It's a good shout.
Guys, can we clear this up? Did he actually touch Moyes' door when he was at United?
Don't know. I'm not going anywhere near that one. Not going anywhere near it.
I don't pay my solicitor enough.
I haven't needed my lawyer for a while, so I haven't got him on speed dial, thank goodness. Yeah. Right, let's move on, shall we? Let's move on to other news. And Cristiano Ronaldo's debut ended in victory as Juve grabbed a stoppage time win against Chievo. Flying donkeys, apparently. Juve weren't the team that struggled the opening day in Serie A. Roma huffed and puffed to a 1-0 win over Torino, while Carlo Ancelotti's Napoli came from behind to beat Lazio at the nation's capital. Now, the shock of the weekend was Inter's defeat at Sassuolo. I'm going to ask you this question, mate. I'm going to ask you this one because I know Spalletti heavily reinforced this. I mean, he brought in the likes of Nainggolan, he brought in a fella from Racing, I forget his name, but you know what I'm talking about.
These signings weren't needed. Nainggolan, yes, I understand.
What are the fullbacks? Asamoah and Vasalco?
Yeah, Vasalco, they played Asamoah in. In midfield, Asamoah wasn't really getting the game at Juve, I understand that. But, and they started Dalbert, but somebody's, but he, I don't, maybe it's fitness, but Perisic was on the bench, Kandreva was on the bench, and Kandreva was setting goals up last season for Riccardi by the truckload. Skriniar was on the bench, and I didn't understand the changes. And Sassuolo are going to fight. And it made me more angry because it messed my Acker up, as I said. But I thought that was going to be an easy opening day win, but they've been beaten. They got Martinez in, Lautaro Martinez, they got Politino. It's like maybe ease a couple of the new signings in rather than put them all in there and just didn't have to balance and. They're paying catch up already, aren't they?
Yeah. The thing is, I know, as we said before, Spalletti has really brought, you know, he's heavily reinforced the squad. He's brought in some decent players. But with Antonio Conte waiting in the wings, how much pressure is this guy under to deliver? I mean, he got them into the top four in his first season, which was a fantastic achievement, don't get me wrong. But again, when you got a winner in Antonio Conte that won, what, four Serie A titles, three or four, however many it was, I don't know how long this guy's got, to be fair.
Yeah, he could be digging his own grave, couldn't he? with that, it would be interesting if Conte did take that job, to the way the Juventus fans would react to him, with him being a legend there as a player and as a coach. But yeah, let's be real, and we have to credit Jose. Since Jose did the treble with them, because they've been my Italian team since they were young, from the Klinsmann, Ruben Sosa days. Yeah, Inter have been an absolute mess. Mm-hmm. Absolute mess. It's been tragic. And without Icardi's goals, they could have had one or two seasons where they were fighting relegation. It's been that bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they need to start winning and sharpish. Otherwise, you know how cutthroat they are in Italy, and you know the political business and the funny business that go on in that league anyway. So, yeah, it wouldn't have surprised me if you see Conte there real soon.
Mm. Well, Hala Madrid says, Serie A games are played for 90 minutes and in the end, Juventus win. can't argue with that. I think it'd be, what, 7 in the row at the moment? It's going to be 8 if they win it this season? Crazy, crazy. Right.
Who's that statement? Is that a bookie statement, that?
No, it's a it's someone in the chat, and I think they're right, actually, to be fair. But right, let's move over to La Liga, and Andre Silva scored the hat-trick on his Sevilla debut, while European champions Real Madrid began life without Ronaldo, beating Getafe 2-0. Rod's mate Gareth Bale got on the score sheet there. Mike, when I think of great Milan strikers, I think of Van Basten, Ware, Shevchenko, Inzaghi. Then Andre Silva joined Milan, and obviously with high expectations, I think he would join for like 40-odd million euros. a hefty transfer fee, obviously. Are we about to see another player having to salvage his career elsewhere?
Probably, I think. If we look at, you know, we talked earlier about United and the mess we're in. If we look at one of the other great European superpowers, I think Milan are in that same position, aren't they? In terms of what's happened over the last decade or so. Just mismanagement, you know, nowhere near competing.
It's called Berlusconi got older, that's why. He's run out of Viagras and
he did.
He fell out of love with Milan. And
yeah, but that was an owner that spent money to get to make teams, to get trophies. But since then, well, you know, if the pharmacy emptied.
Yeah, maybe run out of money.
Yeah.
Spending it on bunga bunga parties and
yeah, maybe. But Milan are an also ran club these days, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
yeah.
If we look at it,
Rod, is the number 9 too heavy for some players these days for going to Milan? Because you know they haven't really had a great striker since Inzaghi or Shevchenko. Like I said, Weah and Van Basten.
Steeped in history. That club, it's a massive club, over the last few years, they've just gone free fall and they've not really won much for a club of that size. Should be, you know, winning stuff every year, and obviously not. And Juventus are dominating. So, yeah, it's a big shirt to fill. There's there's a lot of players. Van Basten, you know, George Weah, Inzaghi, a lot of top players, and you know, Higuain, you know, he's done well in the past. Can he fit that bill? Yes, he can. But you know, he's got to get his head down and do that. But he's definitely got the credentials to do it.
Mm. You can see Milan are trying to do something. I mean, they brought in Maldini as some kind of sporting director. That's Leonardo's role. But he's Maldini's back in the frame doing something in the background. So I think something to do with the development. So I don't know. It seems that they're trying.
When the club changes. Going through different stages, you know, old things get lost. So bringing a person back, like Maldini, bring, you know, the club back to the way it used to be run, and bring back the players that should be playing for AC Milan, and bring them back to the glory days for him.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Well, there wasn't a Galactico signing for Real Madrid again. Mike, do you think is the marquee player policy dead at Real Madrid?
Probably not. It never is it? It hasn't gone away, really.
They didn't buy anyone last summer from shockwaves.
Yeah, but they've had three in a row, haven't they? They've had three in a row. I think they'll go big on whether it's Mbappe, Neymar or Hazard in the next window.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Was it another 8 or 9? How many? It was 7 days?
But I don't think it's too late for anyone from the Premier League. So I think Hazard has said he's going to stay. But he's only got 2 years left of his contract.
Has he?
I think he's got 2 years. So I think in the summer, it's whatever's most cost-effective for Madrid, then it will happen.
I don't know. It's going to be very difficult for them to replace Ronaldo and all of his goals. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're one of the biggest clubs in the world, so you can't really rule them out. But while we're on the subject of La Liga, gents, what do we think about the announcement of the 15-year partnership with a sports and entertainment group? We're going to see a league game played in the United States as a result. Mike, what's your?
I think it's quite worrying for the Premier League. I mean, we you know, was it Scudamore who mooted the 39th league game?
Yeah.
You know, and that died a death, thankfully. But you're only going to get the big teams out there who are going to fill any stadiums.
Oh, I can't see Levante and Getafe selling out in Texas.
No. Likewise, if it was a Premier League game, you're only looking at some of the bigger, you know, the bigger teams selling out. But if it's trying to, what is the point of it? Is it trying to sell La Liga to the Americans or trying to sell football to the Americans? Either way, what's the point? I haven't seen any plans or the financials of it. So it's just, we've been told it's a 15-year partnership. What is the partnership?
Exactly. Apparently it's one game to be played in.
So 15 games over the next 15 years.
Yeah, apparently so.
Big deal.
Apparently so. Well, I said it on the Football Faithful podcast last night. It's a great podcast. If you follow them on iTunes and whatnot. I said they've got history, the Spanish, of doing something. Especially this year, they signed that agreement with the Saudi Arabian FA at the beginning of the year, where they brought over a few players to develop them. and the Spanish PFA were really pissed off about it because it was stunting the development of our players. I just think La Liga now, they're trying all different avenues to kind of pour themselves out, because Barcelona, Real Madrid, and I'll say Atletico to a point, they are the biggest brands in Spain, and they're trying to give all the others a chance. They're trying to make it a global brand.
Yeah, but the only way they can do that is to make the TV deal in Spain more equitable. Well, rather than 90% of it being to Madrid and Barcelona, to do an equal share like it is in the Premier League. I mean, look how much Fulham came up from the Championship and spent so much money. West Ham spent £100 million in the summer. That's because there's money there for these teams to try and improve themselves. That's why the Premier League, as a brand, is incredible. La Liga's nowhere near. La Liga is Real Madrid and Barcelona, whereas the Premier League is more than the sum of its individual parts. And that's the difference.
Yep.
There you go. Mike speaks. Mike has spoken.
I think the Spanish and the English leagues have obviously looked at how the NFL have done it as well. The NFL come and play the game over here.
Yeah.
And obviously they've done that a few years now. It's been successful over here, and it's obviously been successful a bit. And it's obviously a money spinner, so you can only see it in a few years' time that an English club will happen, whether it's China, whether it's the Far East, or whether it's America. There will be a 39th game, and it will be in one of them places because the money's so big from these media companies that'll pay it.
Yeah, the thing is, I doubt this agreement would have actually been made if that pre-season tournament, you know, that sort of international
championship.
Yeah, if that wasn't a success, then they wouldn't have done it. But I think they've seen how much merchandise they've sold from it, how much revenue these clubs have made from everything. So it's going to happen. I can honestly see Man City playing a Premier League game in Abu Dhabi one day. I can see it happening. I can see United playing a game in LA where they've got a training facility, you know, or Liverpool playing in Boston. I can see it happening one day. It might not be like now, 5 years' time, 10 years' time. And don't be surprised.
Is it a good thing? In your opinion, would you agree with that, disagree with that?
Well, I wouldn't be happy with it, Rod, but unfortunately, it's the way the game's going, man. I mean, don't be surprised if eventually clubs sell games. I mean, you're seeing Football League clubs selling games pay-per-view now, aren't they? £10 a game. So it wouldn't surprise me if one day United have the rights to stream their own games on Amazon, for example, or Man City or whatever. It's changing by the year. We're not even, you know, three, 4 months ago, we were talking about VAR. I mean, Christ, now we're talking about games being played in a different continent. It's crazy.
But when you've got these big companies like Amazon that you know, it's just dropping the ocean when what they pay their clubs to have it streamed, it's likely going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, BT Sports were outbidding Sky Sports for the Premier League rights, and now they're being outbid for some company called 11 Sports for the foreign games.
Yeah, but as long as the Premier League, as an entity, is in control of the TV rights, which is what the club signed up to, it won't happen. That's why it's different to Spain.
Yeah,
that's the difference. It's once, you know, when the Glazers came in, for example, they foresaw things like this. Kroenke came in, you know, and Fenway Group, and, you know, before the other two, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, who came in at Liverpool before that. They tried to foresee this, whereby these huge clubs, these big clubs, these big brands will sell their individual rights. The Premier League has got a stranglehold on that. And because of the voting structure of the Premier League, it's very, very unlikely, if not impossible, for it to be broken. Unless these teams, the only way it can happen is if Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea go and have a European league. That's the only way. They completely break away from the Premier League. But the Premier League is so lucrative in terms of sponsorship, in terms of money coming in. I mean, clubs now, they could play in empty stadiums every week and it wouldn't really harm their bottom line, at the top end, I mean. You know, because a lot of the match day revenue doesn't matter for the bigger clubs.
Up in the ocean, isn't
it? Yeah, you know, United are getting £750 million from Adidas. That's a ridiculous amount of money.
Look at the difference between coming first or fourth in the table. Is it 27 million prize money? That's only a difference. 27 million, it's nothing.
Yeah, the first to grab the sleeve sponsor this year as well. You're getting millions for that as well.
There you go. So it's not about match day revenue. The Premier League as a brand, as a package, is incredible. in terms of marketing itself. And yeah. will they be playing games abroad?
Surely the Premier League would want to negotiate with them big clubs rather than losing them.
Absolutely. But it'll be the other way around. The clubs will want to negotiate with the Premier League. The Premier League is the one that holds all the cards.
And from a legal perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. You could see there being a loophole somewhere. There's going to be it's going to happen. One day it's going to happen in
25 years.
Yeah.
And they haven't broken it. Especially in an era now, especially in the last half a decade, 5 years of streaming and, you know, looking at what Barcelona, Real Madrid, in terms of the players they've been able to buy, look at, you know, in the last decade and a half, the money they've got individually in terms of percentage-wise with the rest of their league is incredible compared to the Premier League.
Yeah, but then that's again, I guess maybe even the Premier League clubs are happy with the way the Premier League market the brand, how they market everything, you know. It kind of reduces their workload, doesn't it?
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's an interesting
thing. That's Udamar's on his way out, so when maybe a new guy come in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's last year, isn't it?
Okay. All right. Imagine if it's David Gill. Imagine that would happen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. That's it for our review. Shall we do the rest of this quiz? Shall we give the answers?
Should we just go around and see who's got what?
Okay, go on. Do you want to go first then?
Oh, wow. Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1. I'm going... I can only think of Robbie Fowler. Was Michael Owen still there? Can't remember. No. Sheffield United, the only Sheffield United player, Alan Cork, I think Double D mentioned. Not David Dean. What's his name? Dean.
Brian Dean.
That's the one, yeah. Wow. Norwich 2, Chelsea 1, Zola. Norwich, I don't know. Mark Robbins.
Okay, you got one there.
Ooh. QPR. I can only think of Bardsley.
Okay.
Southampton, I've got Letizia.
Okay, I'm going to write down how many you've got there because I don't want the rest to
all right.
Know how many.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What games are we going in? Games is it?
So, Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1.
Liverpool, I'm going to go with...
Remember, this is 93-94, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to go up one off kilter. Matt Walters.
Okay.
Yay. That's a good one.
Steve McManaman.
Okay. And for Sheffield United?
Brian Dean, standard.
Okay.
Is he the only person who ever scored for Sheffield United?
Yeah. All right. What about Norwich 2, Chelsea 1?
Norwich what?
Norwich 2, Chelsea 1.
I'm going to go Chris Sutton.
Okay.
And Jeremy Goss.
Okay. And for Chelsea?
Chelsea, I'm going to go with... Spencer.
Okay. QPR 3, Southampton 1?
QPR 3, Ferdinand, standard.
What, all three?
No. QPR. Who played for QPR?
I thought of another one for QPR. Don't know if he played it. Bradley Allen.
No. 93-94. Who was it against?
Southampton.
Southampton. It's got to be Mark Letizia, hasn't it?
Is that what you're going for, yeah?
Got to be, yeah.
It's direct debit, yeah. Isn't he? Direct debit.
So QPR, I'm going to go Ferdinand 2, and I'm going to go... only because I know you probably play a manager, it's Ray Wilkins.
Okay, right, okay. Not bad. Double D?
Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1. I'm going to go with... Russian Barnes for Liverpool.
Okay.
And Brian for Sheffield United.
And who for Sheffield United?
Brian Dean.
Brian Dean.
That was the one I said at the start. Norwich 2, Chelsea 1. I'm going to go Robert Fleck and Jeremy Goss.
Okay.
And for Chelsea, I'm going to go Gavin Peacock.
Okay.
And then QPR 3, Southampton 1, I'm going to go Ferdinand, Wilkins and Andy Impey.
Okay.
And, and Southampton, I'm going to go Letizia.
Well,
go on and put that.
I'm just going to put, yeah, Letizia was Southampton's goal scorer. Okay, so you all got that one. Brian Dean was United's goal scorer. Right.
Oh.
Liverpool's goals were scored by Mark Walters and. Yeah, and a friend of the show, Paul Stewart. The Norwich goal scorers were David Phillips and Mark Robbins. And Chelsea's goal scorer was Graham Stewart, Bobby Davro. QPR, Rod, I'm impressed. Ferdinand got 2.
Yeah.
Mike, you got David Barsley, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Southampton.
Letizia.
So Mike got 4, Rod got 5, and Double D got 3. Not bad. Not bad. Oh, you lot did well. It's good.
Mike Walsh got to be the question.
Yeah, you should get a hat trick for that.
Did well.
That was good.
Did very well. I think we'll do this again next week. Excellent. Right, that's it for this evening's show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Mike, Twitter handle?
At Del Pieri.
Double D?
At Double D, that's DUBULDEE. But the show, the D&D Football Factory, the Twitter handle for that is at DD40Factory_.
Yeah, where can we listen to this fine podcast?
on Top FM, which is 95.5 FM in London on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock.
Superb. Rod?
Yeah, it's at Rod James Giggs.
Superb. We're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a Facebook group page. Feel free to join. What was I going to say? I've completely forgotten, but until next time, take care.
Nice one. Take care, lads.